It is Tuesday, the 3rd of December, and this is episode 191 of Digital Outbox. Yes, we exist even on a Tuesday, although we weren't around on Thursday last week, which is why we haven't been around till now. So sorry for that we didn't come into your inbox, but here we are. It's me, Chris, and joined by Ian. Hello.
I just like to add, I've never come in anybody's inbox.
Well, you have now on a Tuesday. So I think it's probably, let's put down now what we're going to do for the last bit of this year. So we're going to have a podcast tonight. We're going to have a podcast next, so a week on Thursday.
Yeah, next week sometime.
And then we're going to have a break until the new year when CES will kick off and we can get all the new bump.
Woohoo!
Yes. Right, I'm slightly broken. I didn't tell you this beforehand, but I fell off a little moto, whatever they call it, mini moto bike at the weekend, and I've hurt a rib. So coughing is not good at the moment. It wasn't my fault either. I got wiped out.
Oh, bless.
Yeah.
It wasn't Henry, was it?
No. No. No, he wasn't there. He wasn't invited.
Does that mean you won something?
Ka-ching! Anyway, moving on. And you're angry, which we're going to get onto later in the show, so I'm hoping we're going to keep your anger levels up.
Oh, I'm so angry.
Yes. But let's start off with Jeff Bezos from Amazon is telling us that he is going to be delivering packages to us within half an hour. How can he do this? I hear you cry. And Ian responds,
with drones.
Woohoo! Everyone's favourite drones. He reckons, he doesn't know how yet, but he reckons he's going to be able to deliver packages around cities that are less than £5. Did he say? Yeah, £5 via basically quadcopters or whatever they are.
I think he's extracting the urine, to be honest.
I think he might be. But it takes mad vision sometimes in order to come up with new stuff.
Yeah, but there's mad vision. And there's like, I mean, basically he's started Terminator.
Well, I was thinking that, yeah, Minority Report, all those future visions of these, yeah, things, you know, getting delivered. Yeah,
So don't get me wrong. So drones, I'd love the whole concept of drones, apart from the kind of massive killing machines that they are right now. So I'm even tempted still to buy one and slap a camera under it and go out and about.
I think that's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, but this was just like, How do we grab some headlines? Oh, and people are criticising us for all the kind of slave labour that we've got, especially in the UK right now. Because I couldn't believe they actually track people. They track people to make sure they're doing their 12-mile walks every day.
You like 12-mile walks, though. It's good for you.
3 sicknesses in 3 months. Goodbye. You know, it's just like total. No, it didn't look like a nice place to work at all.
No, if you ever want to feel like a machine, you can go and do it. But nevertheless, some people might enjoy that job.
Yes, that's true. And and at the same time, it was Cyber Monday. So Sunday night, there was this big announcement from Amazon, and this was it. Amazon Prime Air.
It sounds cool.
It does sound cool.
Even if they can deliver one or two packages this way, it would still be quite cool.
So I'm living in a high-rise building. I'm living in multiple floors. How is it going to deliver?
Who knows? And in fact, how is it going to deliver full stop? Is it going to fly down to your doorstep and just dump it there?
Because kids are outside playing, and it chops their head off.
Like,
whose fault is that? Is it Jeff Bezos? Is it Amazon, or is it our fault for having the kids?
As they say, there's no real, you know, there's plenty of things to get over. Let alone, you know, the FAA rulings and stuff like that about where these things can fly and how they can fly in.
Another thing, like one van takes like hundreds and hundreds of parcels.
Mm.
So we're going to have hundreds and hundreds of drones replacing one van, all going vroom, like total drone army.
But for these courier services around, you know, town, which, you know, delivered in the same morning, whatever, in the, within an hour, they're going to be pretty much individual couriers as well. They're not vans. So it's probably looking at replacing that kind of thing rather than looking at replacing all their delivery. I don't think they're saying every single thing's going to be delivered like this because they can only get out 12 miles from the center, right? Something like that.
This reminded me of Steve Ballmer.
What, all the bravado and baloney?
Just standing up and saying, we're going to deliver a Surface tablet and it'll be called Slate and all that nonsense. This was like the same for me. It's like, yes, we're going to have...
I agree, but I quite like the vision. If Google said it, people would believe them more.
No.
No, okay, fair enough. Ministers, they are already creeping out their freedom of speech blocking of the internet. Now no longer just going to be blocking child pornography sites. They are extending it now to extremist terrorist websites.
Yep, I'm looking forward to the SNP websites being blocked because they are clearly extremists.
This is it, isn't it? That's the crux of the worry here, is that does anyone who speaks out against the government, you know, have something banned? You know, it's just the end game of this is pretty ugly. And again, people moan at China because they block everything on the internet. Well, this is where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen.
We're just as bad. I think we might even be worse because we're kidding on. We've got freedom of speech in China, at least to come out and see it. It's like, you know, we block all this, you can't get access. Whereas here, we kid on, we've got total freedom and we've not.
And say, again, the ISPs are all up in arms because they do not want to be seen as this, you know, the marshals of the internet. And they're being forced to.
I don't want to say you called it, but I think you probably did, or one of us did, a couple of years ago when we talked about all this filtering.
Yeah, I think we all just agreed generally, didn't we? It's just the whole direction of this.
We said this is a path that they're on. You know, as soon as, whether it was music or porn or whatever way they go and block it on, once that technology is in place, it's like, actually,
we'll use that technology again and we'll do it for this. Yep. And then suddenly the secret services will get access to that system as well, and then suddenly they'll be blocking things left, right, and centre without anyone knowing that it's going on, and without any particular rhyme or reason or comeuppance for doing it. When they don't fancy Jeff Bloggs because he said something bad, or if you're the partner of a journalist who's just released stuff on WikiLeaks, suddenly you can't do anything.
And what happens if that particular, term or search term or whatever, somebody has an advert on it and your site happens to show that advert, and do you get then blocked? Are you then branded as hosting or holding that material? It's just stupendous.
And extreme terrorist material. I'm sure when they argue it, when they're going to sell this to us, which, they will do, they'll sell it to us. We want to block all this, bomb making and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, where does that line get drawn? Because, most reasonable people can tell what an extremist website is compared to a normal one. But at some point, a line has to be drawn, and there will be some police people that are pretty close to that line.
As long as they block Alex Salmond, I don't really care.
He's definitely over the line. Mission creep, I think that people are concerned about. Yeah. UK mobile networks, most of them have agreed that they will limit any liability on phones that have been reported stolen to £50. So if someone gets a phone stolen and there's a massive bill, the majority of the mobile companies said we'll limit that to £50.
That's a good story.
Positive story.
Yeah.
O2 have said, fuck you.
O2.
In fact, they haven't said anything yet.
No, there was a statement. There was a statement, we have a track record of delivering for consumers and we welcome any measures. However,
right.
One area of the government's announcement relates to Ofcom's recently published guidance on price rises in fixed term contracts. So I think we talked about this when I mentioned that Virgin were putting up broadband prices, and they're basically saying if you sign up to a contract, you can't just bump up the price. If somebody signed up for a 2-year contract, you can't then decide after 6 months, by the way, I know you're signed up to that, but it's gone up by a fiver. And there's nothing you can do about it. So, and Ofcom are saying that has to stop. O2 are concerned about this.
Yes, of course they are. and at one point they were talking about they were going to split out the hardware cost and the network cost, because it was the network cost that were kind of increasing, whereas hardware cost they could keep constant. But yeah, I mean, it's if you've got a fixed price contract for 12 months, you don't expect to have it bumped up.
Exactly.
But then Sky do it all the time. They, you know, they have their increased constant trickle of.
Yeah, and what, but what they're saying is up, we've put not anymore. And that's why Virgin sent me a letter saying, by the way, an extra £2 on your broadband bill, but don't worry, we'll increase it by 20 meg. And it's like, I don't need anymore.
And it's one of those things, and it's so one-sided that, you know, as a consumer, you're left, you know, oh, okay, you've put my price up, fantastic. It's not like as a consumer you can say, I'm going to pay you £2 less now. Mm. We had a fixed price contract, but I'm going to pay you £2 less because the service hasn't been quite what I expected.
Maybe, and this is the thing, maybe we should just all do that and let them take us to court. What are you going to do? You're going to take everybody to court?
But we can't organise.
Why not?
That's the problem. I don't know why not. Maybe we should set up a website. Sounds good.
Brothers.
Maybe we'd probably be blocked, though.
Brother, not exactly. We'll have
we're anti-capitalist extremists.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, that won't work. Yeah, so, and roaming charges as well. There's still movement on that, but they're trying to reduce that down. And it is getting better, I think.
It's getting better, but it's all small, slow steps, because I know they're making an absolute fortune from this right now.
Of course they are. But I would say that going to Belgium earlier in the year, data charges weren't as extreme as they have been previously. So, you know, you could do a lot more for your bang for your buck, but still not as it should be, which is why it shouldn't cost you any more, basically.
No.
That's the end game.
Yes.
HBO. Woo-hoo. After me bemoaning the fact that they weren't really available anywhere to get legitimately, they are now available on Google Play Store in the UK, which is great.
See, I've told you before, people listening to this podcast,
they
clearly
must
do.
Because it's like we're just 1 week ahead.
I'll show you Chris Hutchison. I'll show you.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. You can now buy Game of Thrones. So you can't just rent it at the moment. You actually buy it, and I guess then it's available on your account forevermore. Pricing, so I'm just looking here, season 3, £18.49 to buy that season, or £1.89 an episode.
Which is great.
Well, again, when you think that each month you're paying Sky between £30 and £50, depending on what package you're on, or even more than that, to be honest. And again, that's, you know, that just shows the difference where you can spend your money now, and how we're going to be in the direction soon where you just pay for the things you actually want to watch.
Yeah, we talked about years ago that instead of paying for the kind of maybe like 9-10 channels you want, and the other, you know, 100, 200, 300 that are just guff, you know, just buy the series you want. And it is getting to that point where it's like, it's not a tipping point yet, but it's almost there.
I don't think so, but I don't think we're there yet. But and there's other bits that come into that, which is, you know, you don't always want to pay for a show. It's a bit like music, isn't it? You want to listen to it to know whether you like it before you then go and pay for it. Whereas,
yes,
and sometimes having a package means that you've got things on offer that you can dip into, and if you don't like them, then you don't have to pay for them. But as a prime example for me next year, MotoGP going to BT Sport. I don't want to fund football. I'm not interested. The reason it costs so much to be a subscriber to BT Sport is not because it's got MotoGP. It's because it's got the football on it, and I don't want to be paying to let people watch football because I'm not interested in it. And why should my money go towards helping and subsidising that? So,
I thought you were with BT Broadband.
No.
Ah,
no,
okay. Would you swap? Would you move?
No, because again, I don't want to. I'm not interested in paying. I mean, the reason a lot of the money that's going into BT Sport is coming from the broadband is going directly into funding all that football. You know, for people, if you like football, then great, go do it. But I'm just a bit. I'm thinking a good word to use there. I was going to swear again, so I won't. I don't want. I just want the MotoGP, and I want to pay for that bit of it.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. So there we go.
Dear BT.
Yeah. Go away. It's that. That's life, isn't it? That's what it's about. Wonder if next week we'll get someone saying, yeah, you can just do the MotoGP. I'm also gutted that it's not on Eurosport anymore, because the commentators on Eurosport were awesome. Right. Apple has been spending some of its cash, not a lot of it, some little pocket money. They sent little Johnny Apple out with his £5 pocket money.
Oh, to be fair, they spent £500 million.
still pocket money. They earned that in a half an hour. So they spent $200 million on Topsy. What's Topsy?
Basically a social analytics firm. So they had access to the Twitter firehose, and you could go and analyze data from the past. So you could go and, you know, look up search terms or go and look out individual tweets from yourself. You could go and look at trends. So you could go and say, show me the use of the word apocalypse over the last shows the mood I'm in. what's the first word that springs into my head? The apocalypse.
Xbox apocalypse.
Yeah.
So Firehose, yes, that was only available to certain partners, or they started restricting it down to certain partners because they stopped letting people scrape all their data, basically. But Apple was already a partner, so buying Topsy was a bit unusual.
Yeah, and another thing that's weird is that if you've got access, the only firms that have access to the Firehose are then, you have to then sell on access as a service. So by Apple buying this, I kind of think that they're just going to shut that part of it down. And the kind of hot money seems to be on that it's either something around Siri or something around, you know, App Store and purchasing it. So it's something that's more like a kind of talent and algorithm purchase they've made rather than access to a Twitter Firehose. But nobody really knows. But it's 200 million, which is quite a substantial sum of money.
Yeah, but it's quite tiny compared to lots of the other acquisitions they make. So it's,
but they seem to do lots of these things, lots of 300 million. I think they said last year, although people said Apple need to go and acquire, I think they came out and said they acquired 30 firms, most of them secretively.
It is acquiring knowledge, basically, and like you say, algorithms, and probably by having smaller teams, it's more in the Apple way, isn't it? It's more focused and directed towards one thing rather than a big glob of stuff.
I do wonder if it's like, you know, remember we criticized, but we spoke about Samsung. They've got this idea of just put out every product and one of them will stick, you know, one of them will be a hit. I do wonder if Apple kind of does it internally. Let's go and buy lots of little teams, send them off doing stuff, and we'll kind of internally filter and say that's what we reckon is going to be successful.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable, and why not? And like they're, you know, they like doing things behind doors, don't they? And only releasing when they're ready. So yeah, absolutely. Say Google used to be that scattergun approach that Samsung now taken over. Yep. So, but they've realised that actually focusing down even just marginally is actually a much better direction for them.
Oh, Google now compared to 2 years ago, I just think is like, you know, so much better.
Yeah, they've got, you know, their apps and purchases, and they've got search, they've got maps. And
I've got KitKat in my Nexus, and it is a bit of a mess. But anyway.
Do you think? I found it quite good, actually.
So this is on my 7. This is an Nexus 7.
Okay, so yeah, I'm only on the phone.
Oh, and I meant to, just when I said that, I actually did save a link today, and I meant to go and check it out. It's seemingly that this Nexus 4 has lots of issues with KitKat. There we go, there's a story there. What an idiot.
I just don't use it enough, clearly.
Yes, a wide variety of problems have been reported. Home button ceasing to function, phone dialer not working, lock screen getting stuck. And advice from this particular place was don't upgrade.
Not seen any of that, so there we go. It's been fine. And I did it from day one. So
cool.
That's unusual not for me not to see these. Issues.
Anyway, off topic, I'll slap my wrist.
Off topic, because Apple have also bought PrimeSense. PrimeSense, famous for developing up Microsoft Kinect. So that's an interesting purchase.
This is, and they'd been rumoured for, I think it was 6 months ago, and then there was lots of talk, you know, 2 or 3 months ago that they'd done this deal. So PrimeSense is an Israeli company, and Microsoft, I think, licensed its use in the first Kinect and also in the new one.
I really hope that PrimeSense don't have some major patent in against the technology that now Apple are just going to say you can't use the Kinect anymore.
Would that make a difference?
It's got to be on and it's got to be connected to your Xbox.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be on. That was one of the things that reversed. Okay,
they removed that now, yeah.
Yeah, well, it makes no difference to me because I could say all day Xbox do something and it would just look at me and go,
huh? What? Yeah.
With Bernie Leck shouting, 11 in my ear. But we'll come on to that in a minute.
Who knows what they're going to use this for? But again, more Apple TV sparks of, you know, is this to do with that? You know, what are they going to do?
I did see a crazy thing saying it was for the watch. And they're going to have some sensor gesture nonsense over the top of it. And I was like, oh, okay.
That sounds like pie in the sky, that. That's,
it sounded like somebody had to write 500 words by lunchtime and they just thought, let's go for that. And I'll get paid £3.90 for my...
Because you don't need full-on Kinect-type censoring to know...
No, and if anybody had seen the size of the Kinect in the Xbox One, which is, like, made for Gigantor people...
We've come up with... we come up with iBox, which used to be iPad, but we put a Kinect in it. EA, they have decided they are going to drop their PS4 digital game prices very slightly from the unbelievably expensive £62.99 for a download to £59.99 in most cases. Still an awful lot of money.
To show you how wound up I am, all this podcast I've been doing a Christian Horner impression, my foot's been tapping.
Bouncing away.
this makes my blood boil. So originally PS4 price was £63 for FIFA. So all the EA games were £63.
And this was for the digital download. So how much is it to buy in the shops?
47. So Amazon were doing it for like £47. So I'd bought FIFA. FIFA came free with my Xbox One. But if I was buying it, I think it was, I'll just check, it's £47.
It's low price because it's sold, you know, because it's chucked away.
The thing that I never put it in the show notes a couple of weeks ago. Because this had come out, the pricing was £63. And I thought, well, that can't be true because the Xbox One price is £55. Yeah. And they're not going to be different. And I just thought there was no way they can be different. But then they changed it and reduced it by £3. And it was like, okay, you reduced it by... Yeah, so it's £45.93 right now on Amazon.
Yeah.
Which is...
So you're paying an awful lot more, you know.
Yep, so they reduced it by £3, but they're £5 higher. You know, so if you want to buy the exact same game... This is for the gamers. Yeah, if you want to buy the exact same game... And what's in my head is, it like, has Microsoft bunged EA a whole pile of cash to either say, you know, reduce your price or... You wouldn't mind having a slight difference in pricing, would you? And I know that is really cynical, maybe. And nothing would surprise me because EA and Microsoft are two of the dirtiest companies out there. I was going to say countries, but
I thought you were going to stop after the first bit of that word. Luckily, you carried on.
I think I said a dirty country in Israel spring to mind. I think that's why I was going with the country. But I just think I just have such a low opinion of them.
Yes, everyone does. And it is an awful lot of money. And it will level itself out at some point. I don't know why.
I can get a digital game, which I can go and give to somebody else. I've got on my shelf. I don't know to re-download when my console needs to get replaced. So I don't need to sit and wait for another 10 gig download.
Well, no, because Forza was 50 gig download.
Yeah, it's just, the whole thing's just ridiculous.
Yeah, agreed. And maybe it will level itself out. Maybe this is just they're trying to do it to start with, you know, get prime adopters to pay the money. But when you're charging £32.99 for Angry Birds, you know that you're a little inflated.
To be honest, I think even charging £53 for Killzone, it's like, come on.
Yeah. Now that this section of the podcast should be called Console Wars, because obviously. The Xbox One and the PlayStation now both out in the UK, and they've been touting around their sales figures, but their sales figures to start with are obviously only for their first set of launches. So for Xbox, it was across most of the world. For PS4, it was just in North America, basically.
Other way around.
But they both sold about a million boxes in that first stage, right?
Yeah, you're right. So Microsoft said, and seen 24 hours, we sold a million. Hey. And Sony had said the same. Yeah, and Sony had said the same. They'd said, like, yeah, we're sold a million. And as you've said, Sony was only in America, basically, whereas Microsoft was across 11 regions.
Yeah, and then Microsoft now said that they've kind of sold out, so they can't fulfil demand, which has been unprecedented.
And as you said, it's console wars, because it's Black Friday, big deal in America, and it looks like it's come here as well, based on what we saw last week. But Black Friday...
It's everywhere.
Black Friday, the biggest console sales for next gen was Microsoft One. It was Xbox One. But you couldn't buy a PS4 anywhere. You couldn't walk in and buy one. There was just none on the shelves. Right. Whereas there was obviously Xbox Ones kicking around. And they get the headline. And so PlayStation 4 was launched Friday in the UK. And it did seem to be a big launch compared to Xbox One. And they've said they sold 250,000 units in the UK, which is double their best start.
Still not many, is it? But then they're a much smaller place, so
it is. But overall, now Sony have now saying that they've sold 2.1 million PlayStation 4s in the first 2 weeks, which is a big figure, because initially they said 5 million by March, and I thought that was crazy talk.
But I think people are hungry for a new console, though, aren't they? That's the thing. Again, we'll come on with our views in a little bit. But yeah, 250,000 UK. So yeah, it's all big numbers, and I think you're probably right. They probably will reach that 5 million. And we're still, you know, it's going to be until March until we know really where things stand, I think.
And Crazy Shack, I think I told you before about Crazy Shack. So he's desperate for a PS4, had it pre-ordered, was guaranteed on launch day, and he cancelled it. And then 2 minutes later decided that was the wrong thing to do, so reordered it.
Yeah.
And Amazon were like, well, you'll get it sometime before
some
Christmas.
Point. Yeah.
So he did try, like, John Lewis and a few other places, and he had no joy.
So he is going to have to just wait for it.
Yeah, I think Argos seemingly had some stock yesterday, and he did kind of like add it to his basket, and then they said he would email him, and 3 hours later there was no email.
Mm. Good things come to those who wait, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not those who cancel a legit order and then fickle people. But yeah, as all this console business is going on, Steambox is sort of still nibbling away there a bit like Nintendo ignoring the handheld market and phones and things like that. Consoles could be usurped by this new concept. So Steam obviously has got their platform where they've now reached 7 million simultaneous user logins. So that's 7 million people simultaneously logged into the Steam service. And Steambox, if they get it right, and the boxes are, you know, I guess they have to have some sort of common level of performance. They could nail it.
Definitely. Especially when you think that a lot of the set-top boxes are starting to get more powerful. You know, could you start to see Steam clients built into your next Skybox and it just becomes alongside it? Could Apple...
Certainly for a limited set of their games, at least.
Yep. Yeah. Could Apple release an Apple TV powerful enough to be similar to a Steam box? And it's a bit I still think is barmy from Apple. If you'd stuck an App Store on that Apple TV, I think your sales would three or four times what they've got right now, but they seem to be waiting for some reason. Maybe they just think it's not good enough. You know, the experience isn't good enough to justify it right now. There's something that's holding it back.
Just not got their focus at the moment, is it?
I look at things like, you know, Plex running on Apple TV, which is a bit of a hack, but it works so well, it just makes me happy. And I noticed Brian, he'd picked up a Roku 3. And just said it was gorgeous. And certainly if I hadn't had an Apple TV, I'd spend £100 and buy one of those in a heartbeat. They just look great. So yeah, Steam looks to be, and I think you might be right. This is we should be bold. Jake, this is the last big console launch of what we traditionally call a console.
Yeah, because I mean, again, with Steambox, you get the concept that if it's only working to a sort of set of loose regulations, you know, you could have new Steam boxes coming out all the time from different manufacturers that's, you know, bumped up in performance. And I don't know how that's going to work from a consumer point of view, as in, will it actually end up being a bad consumer experience because there isn't this one set level and there's always loads of different options available. Having too many options might be a problem for them, but it does seem weird that you have to wait 7 years for each console cycle.
Yep,
and especially when PC gaming sort of accelerates through that 7 years, you know, PC gaming's usually much better than a console by the end of that period by, you know, a considerable margin.
I know it's still early days, but, you know, pop into your local John Lewis, you will see 4K TVs. And I know nothing's broadcasting yet, and I know Xbox and PS4 both said, we support 4K. Xbox doesn't even do 1080p gaming right now.
So how the hell is it going to be able to do
that? I just can't see it happening.
No, not in any great way. You might be able to get an arcade game that's just one color across the whole screen. Like old-fashioned Asteroids or something might work 4K.
Yeah, but I might just think it's crashed or taking a long time to boot. Who knows?
Yes, UK TVs are getting juddering TV playback when using Xbox One's media pass-through. And I have to say, I did notice this, and I was passing through my TV, and I am no longer doing it. Not because I considered it unwatchable, as some people have said, but it was irksome. And it was also, I thought it sort of played around a bit with the colour balances as well. So it didn't look the same as it did just coming straight through from the Skybox. So needed tweaking, and basically I ended up just saying, also, I don't really want to have two boxes running every single time I watch TV at the moment, especially as we haven't yet got the guide integration. As soon as they get guide integration, maybe that becomes more viable.
And I think I'm the same. The guide stuff looked good. And I saw some American forums talking about that, you know, the colour, I'm not saying the colour balance was wrong, but it was different.
It was darker for me. It was a much darker experience.
And there's lots to talk. You go on NeoGAF, any of these forums, it's just full of geeks. But I like going there. And there's a whole load of talk about how they're doing this kind of almost like a sharpen, crunch, dark filter on certain games on the Xbox. And I just wondered if it's almost like a kind of, are they doing the same with their TV pictures?
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, I'd say, there you go. There's from one person's perspective, I was passing through and now I'm not, just because of that very... It is an occasional judder, and they're saying it's because it's the difference between 50 hertz and 60 hertz, and basically because they're outputting at 60, whereas our TVs are only 50, we get duplicated content every now and again, which just, it's noticeable in fast movement and fast panning.
Where I used to notice that it was a TV I'd bought my mother years and years and years ago, and it was still a CRT at the time, but it had like fast text and some other bits on it, and it had all of the digital processing, and it worked great in a picture. But see, if you watched any of the news services with the scrolling text at the bottom, it would scroll by and judder, and it'd be like, that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horrible.
So that's Xbox. Microsoft said they're aware of it. They haven't actually said what they're going to do about that at the moment. Disk drives have also been a problem on the Xbox One for what Microsoft's saying, a limited number of users or a tiny number of users. So basically they're inserting game discs and it's making a horrible crunchy noise. Doesn't seem to destroy the disc, but it doesn't actually run the game. So Microsoft has said they will take anything back and replace it. In fact, they will replace ahead of you sending back your console. So you're not going to be without a console, which is probably the right response to make.
And interestingly, I don't know if you saw the fix.
No.
Turn it upside down, and you can either drop the console from a foot or two, or thump the back of it. It's seemingly what it is a gear is just slightly out.
It doesn't sound like a good thing you want to be doing with your console, though, does it?
No, but I saw a guy.
I guess if it works, it works. But
I saw the and fair enough, they're replacing them, so you're obviously
phone
up
and
get replaced. So I had my Xbox replaced.
And was it because of this problem?
My fan was loud.
Okay.
So everybody was telling me it's silent, don't hear it, etc., etc. And I was sitting there, you know, 10, 15 feet away, hearing a...
I have to say, I can definitely hear a high-pitched, whether it's a fan or not, I'm not sure, I can hear something.
But it was getting quite loud. And then, when you turned it off, all you hear was a... Oh, no.
Right, okay, so you definitely had...
First I was just like, it's just a fan. And again, on...
But if everyone else is saying it's silent, you don't want to be left with a noisy fan, do you?
But I wasn't going to do anything until on a forum. It was one of the Microsoft forums this time. It was an official rep said, if you think you have a noisy fan, please get in touch with us. And we'd like to understand more. Mm-hmm. So I just went on, raised a support call, chatted away to somebody. Bizarrely, they asked me just to do a reboot. That was their only fault finding. Can you please do a full reboot? Did a full reboot. How does it sound? Exactly the same. Okay, we're going to replace your console. No, and it was like, really? So and they did. So
you had to re-download your game again.
Yeah. So last night I had to. So I plugged it in, and yes, it was a lot quieter, like noticeably quieter. And it was like, oh, okay, so there is a difference. And the content download is fine. You know, and we've talked about it before. I'm sitting on a fairly fast connection, so that downloaded fine. And my first experience of cloud syncing my game saves. And while it worked, it took four goes for each of the games for it to work.
Yeah.
And it just kept on saying, you know, well, that timed out after like a minute. And then it would say, do you want to play offline? And I'm like, not really. Try again. And I tried again. I thought, this is broke. And then the last time it worked within like 2 seconds, it just seemed to happen.
So there's some weirdness going on there.
Yeah. And to be fair, fired up Forza, exact same place. Fired up FIFA, exact same place. So
what's your overall impression then? Go on, you give yours first and I'll tell you what mine is.
I'm really hacked off with it. Yeah. Really disappointed. So hardware wise, I think it's fine. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, it's not as good as PS4.
We're not going to know that for another 6 months, basically.
And I think looking
hold that argument.
Yeah, and certainly if I look at the screenshots that I'm seeing right now, you know, 1080p and all that kind of stuff, and you compare it like for like, the PS4 does look a more powerful machine. Or whether it's just easier to program for, because I'm wary of things like the PS3 was clearly far more powerful than the 360, and boy did it suck when it comes to a gameplay experience. The bit that really hacks me off is like Xbox Live just feels broken.
Yeah.
Just such a horrible experience. Like on Friday, so Raven was on, invited him in. He was struggling to work out how to turn off his snapped.
I'm going to jump in because this is exactly my point. I just wanted a simple game with Bomb on Forza.
Yeah.
And it took me an awfully long time, and in practice I had to completely reload the game again to work out how to invite him in, because it just, you couldn't just invite a friend in.
No.
There's no easy way of doing it. And you think that's just the fundamental thing about a service that
from a
usability point of view, they can't have done any user testing on it.
No, and why do I create a party and then I have to turn on party chat? It is so annoyingly broke. I mean, so we had, so eventually get Raven up and running, you know, pressing B, said a whole lot of issues with store. And what was nice was when I eventually set a room up, it kind of just brought them in. And it all, that worked really well.
But that does work up until it doesn't work, if you get what I mean. So
no,
like,
I do.
We did
because
that
then,
and it dragged it in. And then because he didn't get dragged in properly, or the game didn't put him in properly,
exactly,
you couldn't then get him into the game at all.
And it was the same. So Bomb then came on and we invited him in. And I think he'd missed the invite. And it was no easy way to go and find, where does that invite go?
Yeah, where does it sit? Whereas in the old time, you just pressed the dual button to go and get
it.
Which is, but you cannot do that anymore.
So we eventually,
it's like Windows 8, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and that's what it feels very much like. It's like a whole usability stuff's gone out the window. And I have the fear that years and years ago when the first Xbox came out, people said, don't buy a console from Microsoft because all they want to do is put a computer in the living room. It won't be a proper games console. And it turned out it was, and it actually was really good. And the 360 came out and it was better.
It was even better.
But then they started changing it, you know, so they went away from the blades that we had and they started going for the tiled interface, which was a bit more clunky, and they still kept the blades at the guide button. So everybody, I just used the 360 for the guide button, hardly
so
ever.
Exactly the same.
And this has come out, and it's almost like it's the vision from like 12 years ago when people said, never trust Microsoft with a console. Yeah. It's coming out to bear. And fair enough, they are saying they want it to be the home of your home entertainment. It's so broken from a usability point of view. It just feels really, it really annoys me, really irks me with using it now.
They've got an awful lot to do to recover and to get it just back to being as good as it should be.
To show you how bad it is, and I swore I'd only buy one console, I will be buying a PS4.
Just to get...
Because there's, seeing when it comes to the kind of the third party games, you know, your Battlefields, etc., I'm going to go Sony. Because it just looks far less broke. And I know I've not played it, so I could get it and have the same issues or have similar frustrations. But on the surface, it doesn't look as broken as what the Xbox is right now.
No, and it's changing again the fundamental use of a key button like the dual. So it works very good. It works very well if you want to switch from playing a single-player game to then just going and watching a bit of TV you've got that pass-through. It's dead quick. You press the dual... and then you press watch TV. But the problem is that what that dual used to do, which was to get into your Xbox Live interface and get all that thing, there's no alternative for that.
No, another thing is like, I just want to view a friends list. And it almost takes you out the game
to launch a friends application.
And the friends application doesn't launch you with who's online. It launches that stupid notification stream, which if you've just been jumping between four or five things, all I see is Chris is in the home, Chris is in Netflix, Chris is now playing this, Chris is now doing that. Who's online? It tells me there's seven at the side. I need to then move. The friends list was all about who's online so I can go and talk to them quickly, not this whole notification feed of who's been doing what and when. Also, what happened to Chris has appeared online, Cheesy UK's online, all gone, all hidden.
Yeah,
you no longer know somebody's popped on, and if you
miss that bit where it gives a notification of what's just happened and press the jewel now to go and watch it, there's no other way of getting to that information, and it say without
even
ripping
worse,
yourself fully out of the game.
I'm not even finished. You've got me going. Even worse, you get an achievement, and achievements are just the same as before, but then it will say press for more info, and you press for more info, and it rips you out the game.
Yeah,
so you're playing a multiplayer game and you think, oh, I wonder what it is, thinking it's just like more info. No, I'll take you right out of your game. Probably you'll get shot three or four times, or you'll lose your football game or whatever you're doing because you're no longer playing it. So you can read that you got this because you lost the last game, or you came last in Forza. And it's like, yeah, thanks for that. And then you're left with, how do I quickly get back? It's just, it just sucks.
Well, in some ways, I'm quite happy that you've had the same experience as I've had. Because it means I'm not just being thick.
No, and the bit of hope that I've got is all the stuff we've discussed here is software.
Yes, you know, that's
so,
right.
So it can be fixed. But
and it's a bit like, let's get my start button back to actually being a start button. Let's get that jewel back to actually being get a friends list up or whatever, and have another one of those other two buttons which don't mean anything to be the one that goes back home. That might probably revert things.
But Microsoft have an arrogance right now that where we're going is where we're going. You know, we saw that with Windows 8, which is just a mess. And Windows 8.1 hasn't addressed a lot of the usability issues for people. I mean, I used a Surface tablet and it was horrible.
In the same way that Windows 8 needs to use touch gestures to make any sense at all, it's almost like the Xbox One has to use voice commands to get to anything sensible. Because actually, I jokingly, when I was in the middle of such a frustrated period of saying, I can't get you into the game, I said, Xbox, invite friends, or something along those lines. And then I got somewhere. I actually got to somewhere where I could actually invite someone. So it's almost like you have to use your voice, which, again, as you've said earlier in the day, you have to do it twice or three times before it actually kicks in.
And when it works, it does work quite. You know, when you say Xbox, record that. But the amount of time, see the first night I was on with Bernie, and we're playing FIFA, and I'm going, Xbox, record that. Xbox, record it. Xbox, please. And to be fair, Brian had a lot of joy, but all the time I was doing it, it didn't
no
help
one understands
with...
understands what you're saying.
No, but it didn't help with 11. 11. 11. 11. Thanks, Brian. And if you don't know what I mean, go and just look up 11 in Burneside on YouTube and you'll see it. The best... Actually, I was quite impressed, FIFA. So you enable Kinect Voice when you launch FIFA, and then you can pick the dialect. So it was like Cockney, you know, Liverpudlian, and it was Scottish.
I thought
that's really good. So I'm sitting there going like, substitutes, substitutes, substitutes. And just as a joke, I rebooted at one point and picked Cockney and did my pretend Cockney, and that
substitutes,
worked.
Substitutes, mate.
Substitutes. All right, sweeps.
Excellent. So yeah, I think you can probably gather from that it hasn't made me love gaming. In fact, it's put me off a bit more even. So I think this is the end.
And there are some bits, the disappointing thing, there are some bits that are really nice. I really like, you know, and as I said, when the party stuff works, it works really well. I think the voice over using Skype, the quality definitely has improved.
It's all right.
Yeah, I do think that is better. I've not had it crash on me. So that's probably the most I've used Skype ever without it crashing. That's got to be seen as a plus point. Some of the Kinect, the quality of Kinect, I'd be quite surprised. You know, the camera-wise, it looks actually quite good.
Yeah, and it does recognise you, and it's getting better at recognising you quicker.
And that sign-on, you know, so I've enabled the sign-on with Kinect, because I said I'm going to cover that up and hide it, I'll never need it. But actually just booting up, and then it goes, hi Ian, and it's on, it's like, that is really slick. You know, so there is some really clever stuff going on. It's silent. I think the pad's really nice. I love the rumble and the triggers. It fits really well. There's so many things that I do like.
It's just another case of it will demo very well, but actually in real everyday use and life, the number of times you want to do a massive quick swap between a game and a TV and then back to the game again, pretty rare, because you're either watching a TV or you're playing a game. You're not... And, you know, you don't want to be ripped out to go and have a Skype video call without... It just doesn't... Fundamentally, they need to do a lot of work to pull this back. I actually have confidence they will do it when they get over their arrogance.
And do you know what? I've not, because I've got an article that I started reading, and it showed you the blades from 2005 when the 360 came out, and I was like, you know, that was a nice front end. That kind of worked for me.
Yeah, there's no way you can actually get to settings which show you... where you've used all your hard disk space and things like that. And obviously with games being 50 gig, it's going to come a point relatively soon where it's going to get full and you're not going to be able to go and manage that.
And, well, what they've said is they'll manage it for you. They'll remove your least used content.
Yeah, but then when you want to use that game, it's like...
And that's what I don't like. It's like, stop deciding these things. I might have a game on there that I know I'm only going to play once a month.
Yeah, having said that, actually, machines tend to make all right decisions, and we've let them do things like that now. With they probably make better decisions than we do.
Yes and
but
no.
You still like to feel in charge, don't you?
And I think a lot of these things would have been by the by if it wasn't that live previously, it's pretty rock solid. I mean, me and Bernie played Halo on Sunday night, and it was just, you know, so whether you like Halo or not, it's a different story. But the whole
maybe we need Bungie to come along and fix all this, as in their destiny. Maybe that will be all good by then. Mm. It just does give me a bit of the fear about, you know, Titanfall. I hope they've managed to get it sorted. But here's another anecdote. Well, I've got Assassin's Creed, I've got Battlefield, and I've got Forza. I've played Forza four times. Battlefield's still wrapped up. Assassin's Creed I played once.
So, and I guess, so just to compare, I've got Battlefield, Forza, FIFA. I'm actually really quite impressed with FIFA. Just graphically quite a step up. The online teams was broke. So when me and Brian and Bern and Bomb were trying it, horrible. But it actually worked pretty well for us on Sunday. And we had some good sessions. It was quite reliable, worked quickly, joined games, lag free. And it was like, this is nice, actually. You actually forgot you were playing online, which is rare. You know, it's been a while since I felt like that with footy games. Every so often it'll let down, there'll be some jitter, and we were rubbish and we're getting beat. But that's beside the point. It was actually quite a good experience. And so ticking the box for that. Forza, I think, is lovely. But at the same time, it's such a lesser game than 4 was. It's quite disappointing, and it's the same tracks.
I haven't played enough to sort of see all that. I mean, they've got some new tracks in there. Spa's new.
Yeah, but it's just one track, and I've taken tracks
Abu
out.
Abu Dhabi was new, wasn't it?
But they've taken tracks out, and the whole like going online, and I've got to use cars that I've got. Yeah. I just think sucks. Yeah, you know, it's just total grind, and it's just another.
I utterly, utterly hate the fact that they've got credits in there and fast forward credit earning by paying money and buying. And the fact that the first monthly challenge that they did, you have to buy a content download to.
Yep, no chance. I'm not doing it.
No, nor am I. And I will do it absolutely I will not spend an extra penny on you because you've done it. If you'd waited, you know, done as you've done before, which is good 6 months later, then you start releasing content patches.
That's fair enough.
But essentially, part of my download would have been to download that content onto my console already there, and I bet you I only unlock it with that you know, by paying you 69p to it's more than that, whatever, however many pounds it is, £8 to unlock content that already exists on my console.
If you just wanted to buy the F1 car, it was £32. If you wanted to buy, no, there's two different credits in it. Is it like XP and there's credits or tokens and credits?
Yeah.
If you wanted to go the tokens route and just buy tokens to buy that one car, you spend £32 to buy that one car.
Yeah, utterly
that's
disgusting.
One car, and considering there's 200, I think somebody worked out, if you just wanted to, and I know people wouldn't, but if you wanted to just use tokens and buy tokens to buy the cars, it was like £2,000 to buy all the cars in the game.
It's just like, wrong, and I'm not going to support it in any way. I will not spend that money, and if it means that I never get to that Formula One car, well, then I've never experienced that game, and I think it's a lesser game for it, and may not buy the next one. You know,
and
that's the kind of.
However, I did look at the video. There's a video comparison of Spa, real life, and Forza.
Pretty amazing, yeah.
And you're like, that is detail-wise, it's like damned impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much so that it actually, when you looked at it, the Forza looked more real than
the tree lines all in the right place and everything. It was like that is great attention to detail.
Yeah, and I say that because it was clearer, it just looked more real life than the actual real life did, because that was on a sort of murkier camera, really.
Yeah, and to close off, Battlefield, really enjoyed the 3 or 4 games I played, and then it crashed. And I thought, well, that's fine because I've unlocked stuff, but it reset me back to zero. And this was in multiplayer, which is unusual. So I did 3 or 4 games again, and the same thing happened. And I thought, right, I'm waiting.
It's just
sound and experience, and it turns out it's not an Xbox thing. It's more with DICE. So they've put out a thing already. I think tail end of last week it got quite stable again, but over the weekend it was crashing on PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
It's just sheer numbers.
And it's like, ugh, that's nasty. Mm. I think what I would say to folks, see if you're swithering about it, don't buy one. There's no point
at the moment.
There's no AAA
title.
You're
not missing out on a terrible amount. Because you can play most of the games on this gen console, and you'll have a much more solid and robust, you know, experience.
Yep. No, I agreed. And if you do buy one, and I said it to one of the guys at work, if you've bought one for your kids at Christmas or for yourself, do yourself a favour and set it up beforehand.
Yeah, otherwise you'll just be sat around waiting all.
It will be a day You know, if you're on a typical home broadband, it will be a day of downloads. And
yeah, because
lots
even
of
with super fast broadband, it was still a fair drag of time. So yeah, definitely get it set up. Don't feel that the unboxing needs to be done on Christmas Day. Right, we've chuffed on about that quite enough.
Sorry, that was quite ranty, but
it's
just ultimately quite disappointing. And the other bit, none of the reviews really highlighted these things. They talked about the technology and they talked about the hardware and they talked about the games.
They almost towed the line, didn't they? It's almost like they were trying to get the reviews out so quickly, they never really used it in anger.
And it's just, and it's a shared experience, certainly with the folk that we know and play with. So I don't think we're alone. You know, I don't feel like I'm sitting here as some sort of Luddite old guy that like doesn't get it anymore.
As a single player machine, it probably does make a lot more sense. So the review consoles wouldn't have had all that Xbox Live kind of infrastructure behind it. Because as a single, single player game, if you do want to switch from a game and just go and watch TV, then that's great. But
I've also seen video reviews of people doing the voice and they're having to do like, you know, Xbox record that, and then you go bing, and they'll say, look how cool that is. And it's like, that's not cool. That's taking like 15, 20 seconds of talking like a robot. that's not what it should be about.
No. Anyway, that's
11.
That's the end of our podcast. So thanks for listening to us rant. let us know if you've had a different experience, let us know. No one will. You can talk to us. info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. You can find out more about what we do at digitaloutbox.com. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK and I have a blog at academyracer.co.uk. Ian, where can we find you?
My blog is Ian.net, where we're putting up my exclusive nasty opinions about Xbox One sometime soon. And I'm on Twitter as Sweeper.
I don't think it's just your opinions. I think you can speak on behalf of Digital Outbox.
I thought you were going to say behalf of the world.
And the world, because that's what we do. We put a voice to the world. Thanks for listening. Speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We are the world.
Exactly the same thing.
We are the children. Every time I hear that now, I just think of Michael Jackson and he's fiddling with kids.
Well, just don't let it play on your mind.
I can't. Him and Jimmy Savile up in heaven, rubbing their hands.
Oh no! Oh no!
I didn't even get to tell you about eBay. That's why.
What happened to eBay? I forgot about that.
They sent me a mail and said, due to your really bad selling habits over the years, we've banned you from selling. But the best
your
bit
really
is,
bad selling habits.
But the best bit, don't take this badly. You can still buy from us. And I got it.
You've been selling badly then?
No, well, I got it as an email and I thought at first it was a spam email wanting me to like.
I would have thought that.
Yeah, so then I got home and checked and it was from them. So I didn't think anything more of it. And through the week, I picked up an iPad Air last week. I didn't tell you that either.
What a surprise.
That's been the only bright spot in my tech nightmares. I went on and I could set up the sale, no problem. So I was putting all the details in and it was only right at the end when I said like list, they went, you're banned. Can't list.
Right.
So I mailed them and said, I'm a bit confused by this. Can you just tell me why?
Yeah.
Replied a couple hours later, we can't.
What?
Like just be assured that we have checked your account and this isn't accidental. And also, please understand, I know you might find this difficult, but this is permanent. You have no course of action that you can take. There's no way to reverse it. We are monitoring for your address. We're monitoring for your name. We're monitoring for your credit card. You are not allowed to sell on eBay. This is to protect our buying community. And I'm reading it, I'm going, what
the
hell?
That must make you riled.
Well, the thing was, there was nothing's happened. I've sold This is the thing I was saying to Shaq. I've sold 9 things over 10 years. I'm not an eBay seller.
No, no. But it still bugs me if someone said that about me.
So I replied back and said, sorry, I can't just accept it like that. You know, can you tell me, is it a certain, is somebody complained? Because I'm looking at everything that I've sold and nobody's complained. Is it something, is somebody think reckons I fleeced them? Because even when it comes to postage, I always err on the side of caution. I always say, like, because the last thing I sold was my amp, which was a big, heavy thing. And I said, 20 quid. And it turned out the postage was 25. And that's just paying the parcel force, never mind the box and the packaging and everything going with it. So I said all that and they replied back and said, I know you feel singled out, but trust us, you're not. And rest assured, if you've got any buying problems, we're here to help. And I'm like, you're not listening now.
No,
so I went back again and said, look, please give me evidence. I can't accept this, blah, blah, blah. So then they came back and said, we've looked at the last few sales on eBay. We've warned you before about your selling tactics and how you sell things. You've repeatedly ignored our advice and our recommendations. And as I'm reading this, I'm like,
this is not me.
I've not had anything.
Yeah.
So I searched all my email because I'm thinking, has there been junk mail? Have I missed something?
Yeah.
But I've sold one thing in a year. Over the last 3 years, I've sold 2 things. So
they haven't been monitoring for the last 5 years. No. Yeah.
So I searched it all and I can find my, when I joined in 2003. So I've got all my emails and there's nothing. So I replied back again on Saturday evening and said, you sure you've not got the wrong guy? I've looked and there's nothing. I've sold like 9 things. I've got no evidence of any email. I looked through all my eBay messages. There's nothing either. I am very confused. It seems like you're saying, and then there was nothing. And I just thought, well, they're just ignoring me.
Yeah.
Came home yesterday with an apology from eBay to say, sorry, you're right. We were wrong in this case and your seller rights have been reinstated.
Jeez.
And I felt like, yay. But at the same time, I was like, you swines.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway. I mean,
again, no right of appeal though.
No, and that was the thing, that first email. No, we can't change it. No, you can't appeal. It was basically shut up. Go away.
Yeah. Bad week. But you got an iPad Air, so who cares?
iPad Air is lovely, but we'll keep that for next time.
All right.